Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a special episode of the Maggie Dawn Show. We are broadcasting live from the Hilltop Farm in Spring Green. This is the Reisinger family farm where they, for over 100 years, have been raising animals and crops right here in the hills of Sauk County. I'm so excited because not only are we here live at their farm, it is the 49th anniversary of Jim and Jean Reisinger, and we're going to celebrate that with all of you today. I'm also going to be joined by Brian Reisinger, Jim and Jean's son, as well as their daughter, Malia, who's carrying on their proud family farming tradition. Brian Reisinger has written quite a book. I would recommend it to everyone who basically eats food. Yeah, so that would be everyone. This book is called Land Rich, Cash Poor. It was published in 2024 to great acclaim. Since then, it has been named the 2025 Book of the Year by the Farm Foundation, and it received a Reader's Favorite Book Award. C-SPAN picked it as one of its author's series. The Associated Press has covered it. It's an incredible encapsulation of what has gone on in agriculture, in farming in this country, for over 100 years. It is a microcosm told through the lens of the Reisinger family, but it is a story that affects us all to this day, and it speaks to some of the challenges that we are all facing in this country in this very moment. So with that, it is my very big privilege to welcome Jim Reisinger. Happy anniversary, sir, and Brian Reisinger. Thank you for letting us come to your farm today.
It's a pleasure to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. Brian, congratulations on the book. Yeah. We got introduced a few months back. It's so fun to be here on your family's farm. And again, congrats on the book. It is quite a powerful account that I think, again, every American should take a read on. I wanted to start this afternoon by asking you to read what I found to be one of the most powerful passages. You open the book with this. If you wouldn't mind giving us a little bit of a read of your book, Land Rich, Cash Poor.
I'm happy to, and thank you for that. And I just got to say, what people are going to hear is what we really lived. And I owe it to my dad, my sister, my mom, excuse me, I get emotional thinking about it, my family being willing to tell this story and us being able to maybe pick our heads up from the work for just a little bit to share a farm story that a lot of farm families maybe would have shared, but they've been too busy trying to make a living.
Yes.
And so I'm happy to share. So
please, folks, this is the beginning of Brian's book, chapter one. Again, the book's title is Land Rich, Cash Poor. Here's Brian Reisinger giving us a reading, the author himself.
There are more tears on this land than we want to admit. My dad and I were on sacred ground, back at the small cabin I own on a 40-acre parcel behind the farmhouse where we both grew up. This is land upon which my grandpa turned out milk cows to graze years ago, and my dad journeyed to bring them into the warm barn each morning. My dad's hands are big and callous from decades of hard labor, his back still strong, but not as straight as it once was. We sat there on the porch in the sun, and the trees seemed to whisper of those things we'd lost. My father quietly broke into tears. Like rain that starts suddenly while the sun is still shining, the earth feeling more than one thing at once. So, too, for our family, with it all had been taken from us and all we had yet to save. The wind blew the wild grass, and I thought of my father's fields beyond and how hard we'd fought to keep them. For our family, the story of the disappearing American farmer, a threat not only to those living it, but also to the life of our nation, began here on this land. This plot turned our family from dirt poor to middle class in one generation during the depths of the Depression, carried two more generations forward, and gave way to the generation of me and my sister and her kids, until the rest of the world shifted and left us behind. I thought of all that and everything we'd survived since, not only the pandemic, but also four recessions in my lifetime alone. Cows, milking cows through below zero weather, my dad in the hospital when I was a boy. Surely the resilience of the American farmer, paired with some new ideas and blessings from above or luck on the ground, could get us through.
Thanks so much, Brian. It's really powerful. You're describing this moment, a pivot point in your family's farming tradition of over 100 years where you sold off your dairy cows. And I just wanted to start, Jim, in that day, in that moment, that is a sea change, a shift. What were the feelings? I know for you, and as Brian described in the book, obviously sadness, but also was there some hope in passing the torch to your daughter and what this next generation might bring to this very hallowed land?
It was definitely a quite a moment, really. Brian was in the barn with me. Malia was in the barn with me. And the cows did not want to go.
Yes.
I just stood back and left them do the work. And at the end, it's sad, you know, to see my life just done, you know, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for my daughter and son coming forward and saying, you got to do something different, Dad. We got to change this freestall into custom raising heifers.
Mm.
And that's what we're doing now. We're custom raising heifers for a different dairy farmer. We're still making money, you know. Otherwise, we would be lost, in a sense.
Jim, I just want to say to you, Brian, and your entire family, thank you so much for sharing your story here today and through the book. It is very rare that I think many of us see our life's work in a physical embodiment, and we, very few of us actually can see in reality, in a physical way, when our life's work pivots and changes.
Definitely.
And you showed such courage and strength. One of the things that I've said about Wisconsinites is we are very proud about tradition and we are a little bit hesitant to change. So
definitely. I don't want to change, but I've got to.
I want to honor that. And sir, I just want to express my deep respect for that and your faith in your daughter, who we'll talk to a little bit later,
yes,
to continue this on. I think that takes an incredible person and an incredible family to come together for that. Brian, in writing this and in talking with so many members of your family, what was that like? The moment itself is challenging and it's so emotional. We relive it here together again. What was it like, the process of writing this incredible family history?
Well, it really began with the family stories, you know. I mean, I grew up hearing bits and pieces, you know, a great uncle who lost his leg in the fields and, you know, grandpa, there was a fire at the house when he was a kid and, you know, mom and dad had a drought the year they were married and somehow mom still married dad.
Yes.
You know?
And I give her credit for that.
And we're all glad she did. But, you know, you hear these bits and pieces. And growing up working with my dad in the farmyard, I knew that farms were disappearing because it was happening right down the road. There used to be a half dozen farms, you know, just around this vicinity, and now there's two. And
there's only one.
Yeah,
one. On this road,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And, you know, so I knew that things were changing and disappearing. What I didn't know was why. And when I decided to write this book and weave our family's honest story with the hidden forces that were making farms disappear, I found that it was a very rewarding experience, but also one that kind of shocked me because talking with three generations of my family, my great-grandparents had passed before I was born, but we talked to every other generation and other people who are around to reconstruct all this. The things I learned about the resilience of my family generations before I was born and my parents' story and everything else, and the ways that that connected with what it seemed like was happening with farms and our economy all across the country, it just kind of shocked me, you know? And I write in the early morning when only the farmers are up and when my head is clear. And there were a lot of mornings of laughter and there are a lot of moments of tears. And if people had been sitting outside while I was writing, they probably would have thought I was losing my mind in there.
I think some of our listeners think I'm losing my mind. I choke up and have moments on the air all the time with folks listening. I think, again, the idea of trying to record the history of the American farmer, and Brian, you and I have talked about this on this program before, but even before we were getting on, that farmers have to take a break to tell their story, and there's so much that has not
yes.
been told about the farmer's story. Jim, I wanted to just ask you, you've obviously read your son's work.
Yes.
What was it like revisiting for you, for example, Alice and Teresa's story, and the fact that he came here with just a few shekels in his pocket, the $25, and the story of their meeting, and revisiting your family's history from your son's words. What has that experience been like for you, sir?
It's just been, for him writing that book is just outstanding because he did all the history of it through my aunts and uncles, and being where the farm was down in a hole. Mm. And when when it's down in a hole, there's nothing down there really except spring water.
And Jim, tell the listeners a little bit where we are. You call it the hilltop farm, but when Aulis came here, the preference often was for flat farmland, and he picked this place, and it led to dairy farm. Tell us a little bit about that.
He picked that place because he was hiding from the Germans in Germany, and it's very steep, and it's just hidden, but it had spring water, which they needed,
yes.
And it had a big garden. What they put all a lot of potatoes and lettuce, you know, all the crops for, you know, and they worked that land. They cleared the trees and everything, and they made a lot of pasture for the cows. They only had, what was it, 15 cows. That's all they had, and they had the pigs and the chickens, but it's just astonishing that they still lived,
yes,
and still got going.
The rough and tumble world. You describe your great grandfather Aulis coming to the United States, Brian.
Yes,
and he had been effectively under contract to return to Germany,
right.
If the first, what we now refer to as the First World War, got started. So there was this family oral history of, was he hiding out here? Did he just end up picking this because it was available land? I found that absolutely captivating. Yeah. Jim, you look like you want to get in on that. So what were you going to say, sir?
No, he found that land down there, and he just wanted to be hidden,
yes.
Period.
Well, and you described, Brian, that he spent some time alone.
Yeah.
And there is this deep sense that I got in the beginning of your book about your grandfather's commit, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah.
This is difficult. It's not the ideal land. I've got to maybe hide. I'm not sure. He spends some time alone, and then he finds Teresa, and they begin their life together. This goes back into the basically early 1900s, and you begin to describe how they build this legacy. Brian, just very briefly, when you look that far back into your family's past, and we got about a minute here, what does that mean for you and Malia and your kids now, the new fifth generation?
I just think about what a proud tradition it is,
yes.
And the resilience, you know, to have a man come across an ocean trying to, what he was trying to do is avoid fighting in World War I for Germany. He wanted to be in America, and he
right.
dug a living out of the dirt. And for our family to be standing today after starting there is just such a source of hope, I think.
Yes, source of hope for all of us. It is truly an American story. We're going to continue to learn about the past and the present and the future of the Reisinger family here at Hilltop Farm in Spring Green. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. We got a special edition of the show all about the proud tradition of family farms here in Wisconsin and America. Keep it locked.